You're listening to The Ununited State of the World with Francis, Jay, and Monique, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Ununited State of the World. I'm Monique LeRae, and I'm back with my fabulous co-hosts, Francis and Jay. Guys, how have you been? What's going on?
Well, I've been a little bit wet. We had a little bit of wind and rain from this crazy lady called Helene. Oh. I don't understand it. She wasn't invited. She barked in and took over parts of Florida and Georgia. And right now, I guess, hit the Carolinas pretty hard. You know, she was just a disruptor, one of the party crashers. But other than that, we're good here in Florida. Francis, how's it going up there?
Yeah, I just got back a week sailing in Croatia. Absolutely fantastic. 25, 26 degrees, nice winds, best sailing days, winds 25 knots. We're making 9.7 knots in the boat, which is a 51-foot sailing yacht. Really, really nice. Amazing. Sailed out of Split across over the three big islands, went all the way down to an old submarine base, which was an ex-Yugoslavian army submarine base. And then slowly worked our way back, pulled into Hvar, which is an absolutely amazing place. It's kind of like a little Venice, really. Beautiful. It just blew me away. So, so beautiful there. Yeah.
Okay, so you guys, when he says 26 degrees, he means Celsius, which would be roughly 82 Fahrenheit. Okay, so yeah. When he's good weather, he's not freezing and sailing through ice. Right, 83 weather.
That's true. And,
so I just wanted to clarify. He's Celsius.
And yeah, it's a good temperature.
Because we're global.
Comfortable. Yeah, comfortable. No sweating. You know, light breeze up all the time. Lovely sun on deck on the boat. It was absolutely amazing. Yeah,
you look relaxed. What? I mean, us Americans don't vacation like your ass. I need to put my European on.
Well, coming from London, they're just happy to see the sun. I mean,
that part.
Yeah. So,
oh my God, it's not raining. I love this.
Yeah. Came back to 9 degrees and rain again. So, yeah.
Well, welcome. Yeah. You got the yin and yang, you know, like Jay has his Floridian fun there. You know, it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz. Don't blow away. I know that's a tornado. I know the difference. But then when you come to the West Coast, you know, you don't have to worry about that. But I'm glad everybody's in one piece and back here to talk about the hot topics. Guys, we're getting closer to the election here in America. And so we're building up. We're going to get to your favorite things you love to fight with your family and friends on Facebook about. We will get to the headliner, which is, of course, the presidential nominee here in America. And the beautiful thing about our show, if you've never tuned in, is we have all diverse opinions and we kind of represent a lot of parts of the world. So I'm in Southern California. Jay is on the East Coast in Orlando. Or in Miami. You're always in Miami. And Francis is in the UK and a lot of places. So let's jump into it, gentlemen. Let's talk about gun control. Dun, 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 dun. I know. It's a lot. Well, let's start. We all start with the headline. So why don't we talk about, it's been stated that there's a potential epidemic of gun violence. You're now, if you're a man in America, a male in America, you're more likely to be killed by gun violence. I don't know if it's just for men. It's really, really become an issue here in America. Why don't we just pull something from, we want to stay neutral here so that everybody can enjoy our show. We don't want to, but according to the White House, they're looking to ban assault weapons, and wh.gov is talking about the Office of Gun Violence Prevention. And we know what it is. So just to recap, here in America, there's a lot of shootings in schools and malls and, you know, shopping centers. They're so random. They really don't make sense. I want to start this conversation off with Jay, because Jay used to live in the East Coast, used to live in Connecticut. And I want to talk about Sandy Hook. I want to take it all the way back to Sandy Hook. And you know that area really well. What was your feeling? You have children and you're a gun owner. So What was your feeling on this? What's your feeling on guns in America? Go full screen on Jay, please.
So that would, my feeling on it actually was developed when I worked in Switzerland for a while. And when I was there, every boy and girl, or whatever you can say these days, would go through military for 2 years and for their training. And then even after that, every home in the cantons are cities, essentially, and every home would have at least one firearm and no less than 40 rounds of ammunition. And every adult in that home would have to have their card stamped at the range every month. So every month they would go training, and there was never any crime, because you knew that no matter what, if you break into somebody's home, they not only are they armed, but they know how to shoot. Now, the difference on it that I see between, say, portions of Europe and here is the mental health portion of it. And here we're not really taught firearms unless you're going into law enforcement or you are in a region of the United States in which you hunt or anything like that. I think, you know, the mental health portion, it really is something that we should really pay attention to. So if you have that, you're not as worried about crazy shootings and this. Well, then couple that with gang fire, right? So you have territory wars, where I grew up in South Central Los Angeles, and heck, we get them all over the United States. And that also begins with emotional, right? If you're in a gang, it's because you want to be accepted. So my take on it is this. It starts with mental and emotional well-being, then it starts with, then it continues to training. And I think it's also very important that parents pay more attention to their kids. It's very easy to let your kids go off and play video games. And hey, that's a babysitter. I mean, back in my day, we had Atari. You know, we played Star Wars or whatever it was, Asteroids, I don't know. But those video games have gotten very graphic and violent over the past 20 years. And the kids, that's the babysitter for the kids. That's the biggest influence for the kids. It's that and the games. The parents really need to be involved in that and kind of curb it a little bit. I get the excitement. That's all cool. You want to, you know, play SEAL team or whatever you want to play, but there's got to be a balance to it so that the parent understand what their children are thinking and feeling, and to try to curb that.
Great, great, great. I love that you brought in a global perspective to kind of give us some balance of how it's been what country has been doing it pretty good. Before we get your take on this, Francis, according to CBS, gentlemen, the U.S. has had 261 mass shootings so far this year, as of June, not even including what just happened. I can't even keep up. There's definitely an epidemic. We can agree on that. Francis, from your UK perspective, what are you thinking about the mass shootings that are happening here in America?
It's tragic. Any death is tragic. Very different over here. I mean, Switzerland, as Jay's just said, they're very logical, very sensible people. You know, they've got a huge amount of bunkers as well. You know, they've been well prepared. You know, they've always been a neutral country as well. You know, during the Second World War, they were neutral. But I think the bankers took an awful lot of gold money from various sides. I mean, they've always made money, but they've always been neutral. But I don't really know what to say about all of the shootings over there, other than, you know, children, youngsters, troubled teenagers shouldn't really be able to get their hands on a firearm, I would say. And I think a lot of that comes down to where the firearm's kept at home. It comes down to the firearm owner. It comes down to, you know, invariably the parents. You're always going to get troubled people. I mean, you can turn a car into a deadly weapon. You know, we've had vans here run people over on London Bridge. I forget how many they killed. Knives. We've had mass stabbings over here. You know, right across Europe, mass stabbings. You know, I mean, if people want to kill somebody, if they can't get a gun, they'll get something else. So I don't think necessarily it's the weapon, you know, being a gun is the main issue. It's awful. I don't know what to say about kids being killed. I mean, we've just had, you know, we talked about it here recently. We had three young girls stabbed to death, you know. The murderer held their hair and stabbed them in the face and the neck repeatedly until they died, you know, and he did that with a knife. I don't know what to say. We've got a real problem with knives, you know, real problem with knives over here. But yeah, training, where the weapon is stored. It used to be a lot easier to get your hands on a weapon over here until we had a mass shooting. We've only really had one, and the laws were really tightened up on gun ownership and where you kept the gun. If you had a gun, you could only really keep it at the gun club, couldn't take it home. Okay. But we don't have the Constitution, the right to bear arms. We don't have that. It's totally different. And the reason why you guys have that constitutional right to bear arms is because of us. Right, British, though, you know, and I think you want to hold on to that. I think you want to treasure that and hold on to it, not lose sight of what that is worth. But also, you obviously need to do an awful lot more about training, storing weapons. It needs to be taken really, really seriously. Yeah.
Hey, so, Francis, you're voting to the point. And you underscored it, where the weapon doesn't matter, right? That's a byproduct. Whether they use a car, a knife, a gun, or whatever means they're going to use, if somebody is mentally off or emotionally killed, they're going to find something to express themselves or...
Well, they will, and they do, don't they? We see it all the time. It's not as if it doesn't happen. People pick a knife up, and they go out and stab and kill 5, 6, 7 people. You know, it happens all the time.
Yeah, so it starts with the mental and emotional health, right?
Sure, yeah.
And then after, because if you store away guns, you never know. You could be at a stoplight here in America, and all of a sudden somebody comes up to you and pulls a gun on you and tries to charge you. And even if you give your car up, like I think we can all agree, you want my Maserati, take it. I don't care.
Sure.
A thousand of them, right? But they kill you because they don't want you to tell the police, you know? So, you know, but if you have a gun with you, then you could actually have a fair fight, right? You don't take a knife to a gunfight.
No.
But it really comes back to that mental, emotional state to avoid all that. And then that alleviates, you know, if you have a sound mind, and a sense of understanding, which is kind of what I love about our peer, is that we're all very diverse, but we come to an understanding, and so we may agree to disagree, but we still have love and respect. You know, never would I want to hurt. Even though we have different views, we understand at the core what the core values are. The weapons are just a byproduct now. How does it work in the UK with guns? You said you have to leave your gun at a gun shop. What good does that do you?
Well, okay. So, this mass shooting in Hungerford, I think it was 1987, Michael Ryan went on the rampage. He was a keen gun owner, and he had an AK-47. And he stalked a woman in the woods and... who had children with her having a picnic. He put the kids in the car, dragged her out into the woods. I don't know what happened, but he ended up shooting her. And then he just went on a rampage in the local town, which is Hungerford, and he killed 15 people. He just walked around randomly, just shooting people. It doesn't matter who they were. He shot his mum. He shot his friends. He shot anybody that he saw. It's quite a small town, no 7,000 people. Yeah. So,
but that was 87. I mean, I'm not trying to diminish it, but that was a long time ago. It's only been 87 minutes since it's happened here.
But they changed the law quite heavily on gun ownership. So if you were an active shooter at a gun club, you had to leave your gun there. They banned assault rifles. Shotguns could
Let me jump in here real quick, Jay, because I haven't gotten to speak, and I want to speak on this, if you don't mind. I'm surprised that we all agree that it does start with the person, and I'm very pleasantly surprised that everyone's got their head screwed on straight. I will say, you know what? And I like that. Well, fix it, Jay. Call the chiropractor. But I do like that we do land here because we can have a cohesive conversation in all these parts of the world that we touch. Here's the thing. When you get your driver's license, it's a privilege, not a right. And I look at gun ownership as the same way. I'm a hard old Democrat, and I have a Winchester rifle for home protection. And that is what that is, right? But I still believe that it should be responsible. I still believe that I shouldn't be drunk, just like when you drive. I shouldn't be high on weed. I should be conscious of mind, what I'm doing, and I should be tested. And it should be, it's a right. And that with that right comes more responsibility. So this whole thing about weapons that belong when we are serving overseas and at war, I think that that's the main problem. Giving an application, you know, if I'm in a semi truck and I'm drunk, that's going to do more damage than I am in my little Alpha. So, you know, when you put these machines, is it magazines? When you put these magazines on these weapons, it's intended to do more damage, to affect more people. And that's the problem. Why at the gun shows aren't we doing, I know they want to make a quick sale and it's your right, but it's not really your right to be shooting people military style. That's not really what the forefathers meant, okay? So I think people are getting a little, and nobody, the last time the Democrats were in, they didn't take your fucking guns. They're not going to do it next time. So where can we meet in the middle where it's common sense?
Okay, so Francis, go ahead, and then I'm going to pick up that.
Well, I think historically, the right to bear arms, 1775, half Americans owned guns. I mean, obviously, in the early days, they were quite violent times, and you went hunting a lot as well. So guns were prevalent. I would think every man probably owned a gun, which is probably why half Americans at that point in time owned guns. And you had the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. The Federalists were all for big standing armies, and the Anti-Federalists said, well, you know, a self-armed militia can defend our new nation. They were weary of the experience of the British Army during the Revolution. And that's when the Second Amendment was drafted to ensure that a federal army wouldn't be used against the people. That's your own army, guys. Yeah.
Yeah,
and you can see how encroaching government is, how overbearing it is, how they push their way into your life, how they, you know, manage and manipulate you. I would hold on and treasure your right to bear arms.
We don't need to kill 150 people in a few minutes. Okay, Jay, go ahead.
I don't know. They're kicking your door in. There's 150 of them. I think you do.
Who's kicking? No, well, listen.
We're talking about your own federal army.
So you believe that we should have military grade weapons as civilians? You think that we are mentally and trained to do that?
Well, what do they have them for? What do they have them for? Why
for
do they need miniguns? You know,
for fighting war.
Okay, but okay. So first off, I'm going to start it off because I'm kind of a simple mind. I just went to the South Central Los Angeles School District, but I do have common sense. All right, so your first question has to be, if you got an AK-47 or 15 or whatever you have, something that is semi or fully automatic, where did you get that gun?
The gun show.
Oh, but who imported that?
I don't know, but I have a Winchester. I have a rifle.
Home I know. Yours
I don't need to shove that. I don't need to boost that up. If I need a military grade weapon to protect myself in the United States of America, I got bigger problems. Okay. I got other issues that I need to deal with.
Moni, Have you ever shot your gun?
Luckily,
be
no.
Be honest.
Luckily, no.
Okay, so you have no idea how long it takes to reload, then click it, then fire it, right? Because I imagine your Winchester is something out of like a Western movie. You know, it's probably...
You know me. You know me too well. It's really just okay. To show you to get you to so leave.
If you ever handle firearms, you can appreciate, you know, a little magazine. And I'm not saying it needs to be rapid fire. I'm not saying fully automatic. I'm not saying, but I'm not saying against it either. What it is you got to first ask, where did those weapons come from? How did they get into the system? How are they tracked? And what are the repercussions? If you're caught with a firearm and the serial number is scraped off and there's a black market for those firearms, okay, we're tightening that up right now. But I got to tell you, I'm not going to take a sixth round and go against a guy that has a semi-automatic. Screw
and that's
that.
Why everybody has to have the same playing field. We should not have military grade. Everybody that's using them has a mental issue. You're not trained to use it, and you're not qualified. You're not in the military. You need to keep your home safe with what is fair and everybody equal playing field for everybody, up to whatever. But you shouldn't have
things
that
belong
in the war on the street.
Wait a second now, Miss Los Angeles and Laguna.
No. You're from LA too. No, don't get it twisted, Jay. You're as hood as they come. Don't let the little tan whatever going on fool you guys.
Okay. don't act so naive and innocent. There are wars. We got the Bloods, the Crips.
You're stuck in the 80s and the 90s. That's not happening as bad right now. We got bigger
threats. Oh, really? Have you watched the news?
Stay focused on the subject. Can we agree? Hold on. I live here. Can we agree?
You got a drug war.
Okay, that's different. But don't say, okay, but hold on a minute. I appreciate. I'm not trying to catch you.
Bring their guns. What are you talking about? How
hold
is that
on a
different?
Minute. It is different from the 90s, and you know it. It's not the same.
How?
Nope. All right. When you're out here, we're gonna go drive by. We're gonna go to the fish market and get us a salmon, a fish plate, and we're gonna go to the hood and we're gonna check it out. But look, my point is this: can we all agree?
You need me to call so much for protection.
We don't need all. You, don't be a
I
mark.
Still got good.
Don't be a mark. Stop giving your address out and tell people what kind of car. Anyway, guys, can we agree that we shouldn't have military grade weapons on the street? If Bobby is having a mental issue, can we just agree that if everybody just has standard protection, that it's your lawful right? It's not your lawful right to shoot people like you're at a war. That's insane. Can we agree?
Right.
Why? You're seeing why. Over 11,000 people got killed this year already. That's why. Innocent people can't get away. It's not a fair fight. If you're a war and you're using war weapons, it's a fair fight. If Susie's licking on a lollipop and she's got a little handgun and your ass has a semi-automatic, that's not fair. It's not a fair fight.
But the question goes back to, first off, wait a second. You
forget about where it comes from. We need to stop it. I don't care about how it's already here.
You break into my house. Do we call out and say, hey, by the way, I've only got a 9mm Glock?
You're skipping my question. What I'm saying to you is you have a fair fight if that person doesn't have a military grade weapon. I know what kind of gun you have in your house.
You know what they
everybody
have.
Has up to the certain limit of a kind of gun. I think we have to look at it like what's appropriate for society. Is that really appropriate for people to go to the mall, eat the ice cream, and get swamped out like that? That's not so,
Monique, here's the thing. If you haven't been taught firearms, so if you got a .22.
About that, I got common sense too. It doesn't make sense.
I didn't say you don't have common sense. That's not what I said. What I said is you don't have firearms training. So if you have a .22, that is called a suicide. Because that bullet, it's not strong enough. It'll pierce one side of the skull, and then the bullet bounces around, and you're surely dead if you're at a close range. Okay, then you have different types of bullets, right? Whether they're solid, hollow point, whatever they are, long range, short range. At the end of the day, you wouldn't if you've got your mental health, then the only time you would actually engage somebody is after one, trying to defuse it, right? You want to defuse the situation. Nobody wants to kill somebody unless you're fighting over territory, drug issues and things like that, or you're on drugs or alcohol or whatever you're on. That, again, goes back to mental and emotional health. Now, if somebody ever broke into my house, I'm not going to fucking ask them, hey, by the way, what gates do you have?
Of course not, because you would already know, like in Francis's country, shit's controlled. And the common denominator, whether you're mentally ill, you're pissed off at your ex, you're fighting a gang, the common denominator in all the mass shootings in America and all these 11,000 plus people that are dead is it's a military grade. So you look at the common denominator and you figure out no matter what they're doing, because you can't control that. Let me see what is common and what I can control. And we don't need military grade. We just don't.
So is it military, in your opinion, or based on what you believe, it's military against military? Because if you doubt me on that one, I'll fire off so many articles.
Pun intended.
It was the gangs that had AK-47s.
Right, okay? Now, we're talking about not 1995 or 1985.
I'm talking, you weren't even born back then. Shut up.
Thank you. I feel so young. You know when I was born.
So, no, Monique, I'm saying in today's times.
What's the question?
Okay, so the question is, what is your understanding? And I want to finish something before you answer that question. Monique, here's the common sense to it, in my opinion.
Let's go full screen on Jay, Sam.
The common sense is that the local homeowner, okay, that girl that you say is licking a lollipop and she's only got a handgun, she's against an AK-47, that's not the same scenario. But you've got to ask yourself, if that local homeowner has an AK-47, do you not think that other people that have ulterior motives probably also have the same kind of equipment? Is that out of the concept there? So only the good people have the bad guns, but the bad people don't have the bad guns? Like, really?
That's a good point. I don't want to diminish your point, but you're looking at a micro view. I'm looking at the macro view. What is the common denominator that's snuffing so many people out when someone has a bad day and they're at the mall, okay, or wherever, right?
It's called drugs, antisocial.
No, it's not, because some people are not on drugs. All these scenarios are different. You know the common denominator is? No matter what city, what state, white, black, green, young, old, mentally ill or not, the common denominator is it snuffs out more because it's a military-grade weapon. So why not go after the common denominator? Yes, it effing is.
Really? You want to bet? Here, I'm going to prove it.
No, I don't want to bet. It's a criminal fact.
I'm going
to
prove it.
Nobody's going to the mall with a pistol and knocking out 50 people.
Hold on.
We're talking about mass shootings. We're not necessarily always, we could talk about everything. So to answer your question, I want to look at the common denominator, and the common denominator is if Jack is having a bad day, a mental bad day, and he has a handgun, he's going to do less damage than Jack or Bill, who's having an episode with a military grade weapon. Why don't you see that?
Wait, so listen to your words. No, I'm going to bring it right back. Mental and emotional health, and I'm going to slam this right now. Watch. No sane person that is mentally and emotionally sound has a desire to take somebody's life.
And we can't control that.
Wait, hold on. Nobody of mental and emotional sanity wants to take somebody's life unless it's in defense, okay? And you have every right for that, and you better. Otherwise, it would be a lawless world, which is kind of where we're getting at. That said, here's the proof of it. How many times have you heard of military retired veterans, maybe not yet retired, but suffering from PTSD, right? So, or PTSD, I'm sorry. Okay. Even they who are trained to kill to defend our country. They even come back with traumatic stress, right? So my point is, it is not the mechanism. It is what underlies that. And that is mental and emotional. And a lot of that comes from our American family breakdown, because we have so many divorces. We have parents that are not involved with their children, yet the teachers also are limited on their guidance. So,
that's right. All of that is true, and I agree.
I know, but it is.
Okay, so hold on a minute.
Gun you use, wait. Then you go back and say, oh, there's less damage with this gun. I'm sorry. Is that going to provide any consolation if you go to a funeral and say, hey, guys, it's okay. We only lost 3 kids today.
See, you know what you do? You know what you just did right there? You know what you just did right there? You assumed that that's how somebody would react. What I would like to look at this is, hold on a minute. I'm going to give it to you in a business. I'm going to give it to you in a business example. All right? In business, if you have a product that you're selling and all your employees have different personalities, different mental things going on, and some people are selling better, some people are selling worse, but you have the same tools to use to make those sales. The common denominator isn't the people and their behavior. The common denominator is the tool that you're using to sell, okay? And that's the thing you can control. You can't control people. You can't control how they behave. They're going to, hold on, I let you talk. They're going to do what they're going to do. Did he leave? My point is, the thing you can control and mandate, and even the playing field here, and bring down the number of deaths. I don't want any deaths, but no, of course, 3 versus 300, any life is precious. My point is, if we look at the mechanisms in which we're using, they are not applicable to home protection. And that's why these people are taking they're waging war on our community with military style war machines. Jay left, I guess. I don't know what happened. Let's go full screen on Francis.
Oh,
Francis,
just that, yeah.
What are your thoughts, Francis? Full screen on Francis.
Yeah, I think your government would love to remove your right to bear arms. I think they would just love it, because that would give them ultimate control over you guys. Sure, there is a problem with gun storage, training of weapons, people obviously losing the plot and then going on a rampage and running around with a weapon, shooting at people. I think you're just going to have to tighten up on the storage and ensure that people have really very, very good training. I mean, you know, it's a deadly weapon, so everyone that's got one should be highly trained, really. I don't know what else to say about that, but I would fight for your constitutional right to bear arms and keep it that way. It was put there for a reason, and I think people have lost sight of that reason. And I think now, you know, with overbearing governments, as we've seen with all of the lockdowns and mandates and everything like that, you know, what are they going to try next? Definitely.
Yeah. No, definitely. Thank you for that. Jay's probably having some technical issues.
And defending your own home. You know, if somebody breaks into your home and they're armed, then
I don't need a magazine of 300. I don't know how many clips you can have on it, guys. My uncle is a gun expert. He trains the military.
Sure.
I'm not an expert, but I don't need, if I need a magazine at my home to protect myself, I got bigger issues. I need some security detail at that point.
But I mean,
I'm doing something really wrong in my life.
I mean, a rifle is a long-range weapon, really. I mean, you need a short-range weapon like a pistol or some sort of very short assault weapon, short shotgun or something if somebody breaks into your home. I mean, you've got to hit them, right, before they get to you. Someone's broken into your home and then they're not backing off. They're coming at you. A rifle is a long-range weapon, so maybe you should consider buying a pistol as well, perhaps.
Jay, you have 2 minutes, last words on this. We have to get to the hot topic, entertainment hot topic, which is a hot topic.
Oh, man. Monique,
round this out for us.
You just took up 5 seconds of my 2 minutes. No, knock it off. Sam, reset the clock. All right. So listen, Monique, I agree.
No, don't address it to me. Address it to the world. It's not me.
All right, you just took up another 10 seconds. Sam, reset the clock. So the point is that voting to Francis's point, people should be trained. Okay, that is common sense. You don't, when you ride a bicycle, you start with training wheels. Then you take out the training wheels. Then you go. When you drive a car, you do the same thing. A gun is, voting to Francis, and your point, is even, that's a deadly weapon. You better know how to use it. And if you don't, it can get turned around and get used against you, right? So you not only need to know how to use that gun, but you also need some tactical training to defend yourself so nobody takes that away. You need mental health, emotional health, and that starts with the family and then the educational system. And that is the end of the day. Thank you, CNN, NSBC, and BBC, of course.
Okay, very good. There you go. And from that, we're going to shift here and we're going to pause. Guys, if you're not following us on Instagram, we have a page up at the Ununited State of the World Pod. It's short because I ran out of characters. Follow us, like, and share. You can catch us here on LA Talk Radio. Check the listings here for the show times. We are pre-taped. So Sam at LA Talk puts us out when he can put us out, and he does replays of us. So help us build our fellowship. We want to build this up. Guys, why don't we go ahead and plug Jay? Go ahead and plug your business. You're going to a conference soon in Vegas. Why don't you plug the business and give people where they can find and tell them what you offer while we tee up the next topic? Go full screen on Jay, please.
So the business is this. We are not the banks. We're better. And right now, rates have just dropped. And whether you're short on down payment, whether you have some credit challenges, whether you are looking for your first investment, I can do loans based on simply what the rent income will be. I've got your down payment assistant covered. I've got a very solid team to clean up any credit needs. This is the time when you pay rent, you pay 100% interest. Stop paying interest. Stop paying your landlord's mortgage. You don't need to. Give us a call. My number is 214-244-7857.
Beautiful. You're really rounding that square for people who are stuck in the rental loop. I myself choose to rent right now, but definitely looking for property. And Jay is an expert in the industry, a trusted expert. And if you get a hold of one of these, he's actually featured in Top Agent by Keith Doherty. And this is Jay before he, that's Jay. We're going to have to see what
before I got brain, before my divorce.
All right. Before you do it. But Jay's going to his class reunion soon, so you never know. He might be looking like this soon. We'll have to see what he comes up with. But he does, in this book, you guys, let's have a little brag moment about Jay. He's one of the top 250 realtors and agents in America. When this book came out, I'm sure he's done even more numbers. Really proud to have you, Jay. And I feel like you could help that, you know, that person coming out of college or that newlywed couple really use their finances to get the American dream. And give me three cities in America that are the top, like hottest markets where people can afford a home. What would you say off the top of your head?
For the three most affordable, I would say right now would be
Carolinas, right? The Carolinas? No.
Well, you've got the Carolinas. Any of the Southeast states, so Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, Carolinas, South Carolina, not North, but South Carolina would be good. If you go Midwest, you've got Kansas, Montana, those are good. Oregon and Washington have taken a dip, so they're getting more affordable. And, you know, so any of the Midwest, and then, like I said, Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, you're good. Tennessee has skyrocketed a bit. But if you go outside of, say, Nashville or in the, you know, big cities, so more rural, better deal. But it's, you know, there's there's a ton of opportunity even within your own city. So whether you want to go to suburbs or you want to stay urban, the opportunity is there. And there's so many programs that we have right now to help those people get their foot in the door. And at the end of the day, I want everybody to remember, it's not, you don't marry the house. Okay. So you buy a property, you can never renegotiate that price. You can always renegotiate the loan. So the biggest concern is focus on the price of the house, not the loan. I'd rather pay 10% interest and get a good price on the house, because I can always refinance that loan. Never rebuy the house. So focus on the price of the house. Don't worry about the interest rate right now. And although we have dropped down, but even if it goes up, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, whether you pay 10% to the bank or you pay 100% to your landlord, you're going to pay interest.
Very good.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it, actually.
Sorry to cut you off, Francis. Great. I can't believe it. The interest rates dropped down under a Democrat. What? Okay. Anyway, I don't want to start again.
They want to get reelected. They just want to. But we dropped those rates down 2 months ago, so you be quiet.
Well, it's still under Democrat. All right. We'll fight about that. We have a long time to fight that. All right. Well, Jay's the expert in that space, so get with Jay and his team and really get serious about your future. Listen, investing in this is the best way to build wealth. Everybody knows that has wealth, that having property and investments in that way are the way to go. All right, let's shift, guys. Let's talk about your boy P. Diddy. In entertainment news, Puff Daddy has federal charges of drug trafficking.
What? No way. Hold on. Call 911. I'm going to have a heart attack.
Sex trafficking, drug trafficking. He was caught with 1,000 bottles of baby oil in his house for his freak offs. He's got a criminal enterprise that they're claiming. Now, the Southern District of New York has a pretty high conviction rate. I'm not sure if it's in the 80s or the 90th percentile. You have to do your research to double check. But he was just hit with a $100 million default judgment on September 9th over an alleged sexual assault from 1997 with Derek Lee Cardello Smith. He's got charges in Lenawee County Circuit Court. Combs is 54. He's got surveillance that we all saw of him beating Cassie, and Cassie came out with.
Oh my God. Can you imagine that? I mean, did you see that?
That was insane. And the level of let's just say he was drunk and high. The level of you not knowing, and someone kept that tape down for a long time. Gentlemen, what do you think about Puffy's sudden, rapid, and shocking fall from grace? Francis, well, you've been kind of, what is your European perspective of Puff Daddy?
Well, turns out with all that baby oil, he's a very slippery character, isn't he?
Hey-o! Take that. We shouldn't be laughing.
Well,
but that was
funny. I mean,
that's funny.
I don't follow people like that very much, to be honest. But whenever I saw him, he was always projected as kind of like holier than thou, really. He was always kind of like wearing a white suit and, you know, with other film stars, looking great, you know, acting very coolly. And it was, you know, P. Diddy, formerly known as, and there were loads of jokes about that, weren't they? Yeah, you know, everyone changed their name. It was like everyone was formerly known as, you know. I mean, what's all that about?
You know, it's to keep the brand fresh, from my perspective.
Oh.
Right. You got to give the people something to talk about. But, Jay,
Levi's Blue Jeans, they never changed their name. Coca-Cola changed their name.
Coca-Cola wasn't called Pepsi Coca-Cola.
Pepsi never changed their name. You only change your name when you want to get rid of something in the past.
It's like Prince, wasn't it? The artist formerly known as Prince.
I don't know. I think it changed a little
different. He started
it, right?
He started all of that. And,
Jay, what say you enjoyed Puff Daddy's music? What the heck's going on around here?
I've actually never listened to him.
I'm sure you've danced to it in the car. You just didn't know it was his. He's produced a lot of artists.
I you know what? And unfortunately, I didn't even have one ball of baby oil, but I should probably put some up.
Jay's having a cook-off down there in the swamp.
And I know he's buying 1,000 bottles at a time. I would have bought stock in Johnson & Johnson baby oil.
That part. Give me a tip. What do you think, Jay?
So I think, okay, first off, when I saw that video, that it broke my heart. My father and different husbands she had, they were abusive people. And I, you know, when I see a man lay hands on a woman, I don't care. The woman, you can punch me, you do whatever you want if that's what you need. But to see a man kick and beat and do that kind of stuff, and that it just made me, it really turned my stomach. Seriously. Okay.
And same. And I think that you're right, Jay. I mean, of course, people have domestic issues, but if you're a real gentleman, you're going to protect that woman even when she's being, now I'm not saying if a woman's coming at you with a weapon, I mean, she's putting you in a position, you got to be responsible for yourself. But that video, within 24 or 48 hours of that video being released and her filing charges, Cassie was paid a very healthy amount to try to heal her. And she's went on to get married and have kids, and God bless her and her family. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard to fight his criminality.
Right. And so when I say psychology, it's like your traumas come back every 20 years and until you deal with them. Right.
Sure.
But nevertheless, can you imagine the fear in that poor girl's mind at that time?
You have her shoes on. Who knows if she even had car keys or money? She's just, I'm trying to get out away from this. She was probably going into the street. We don't even know where she went next. That's really scary.
Here's the thing. And this is really one of the biggest reasons I left Los Angeles. I mean, I do have a home there, but I rent it out. I don't actually live there. And it was, my son was doing commercials, right? And some of our neighbors were pretty high level celebrities. So Britney Spears, Justin Bieber, Charlie Sheen, Heather Locklear, and Denise. I mean, they were all neighbors. And the neighborhoods were quiet. The ruckus that those people caused was insane. And they all went, except for Heather, they all went off the deep end. And so we pulled our son, at the time I was married, we pulled our son out of that industry and relocated to Connecticut. And I look back today and I see even Iron Man. God, I can't remember his name.
Uh-oh, is that what happens when you turn 53? If anybody has Ginkgo Biloba, we'd like you to sponsor Jay. I'm just kidding.
that's a rough business. I mean, business you're in, Monique, is extremely tough.
Well, I mean, your son was acting. I'm not acting. I'm behind the scenes and in a different portion of the business. But I will say, like you said about the guns, it really does start from the top with the family structure. And you've had the foresight to say, this isn't good for my family. Like, it's not for everybody. And just want to preface, if you've never been to LA, all of LA is not like this. There are places you can go.
Oh, no, LA is great.
We're not going to blame LA for your neighbor's
party. No, the industry is very tough, right? It really is. There's no denying that. Like, name an actor or actress that hasn't gone to the depths of hell with addiction or other issues.
You have to have a strong team. Yeah, and you should have, like, anything. You have a strong basis, and that's why you're successful in what you do, Francis. You have to have a core and a strong personal constitution in my business, for sure. Now, I want to share with you guys, only a few minutes left, I want to share with you an additional thing. I don't know if you knew this about Puff Daddy. And listen, the streets have been talking for many years. So here, let me recap.
I'm going to be selling his house because we foreclose on them. I'm going to foreclose on his house. And
okay, well, don't make yourself a target. Move first and talk later. But yes.
I'll get a bulletproof vest.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
That'll take an AK-47.
Don't come for Jay, y'all. He's got people. But did you guys know, and there's been suspicion about, of course, with Big one of his artists. Shine, another artist, you know, who's now a politician in Belize, is coming out and speaking. There's been whispers about even his ex, Miss Porter, who died mysteriously of an illness. But get this, gentlemen, did you know there was a car that was firebombed? And it was Kid Cudi's car, another artist, and he was dating one of Puffy's exes. And all of a sudden, Kid Cudi, Puff said something, put out some type of threat. Do not quote me, look it up. I do not want to say it wrong. But then Kid Cudi goes out to his driveway one day and his car blows up. So there's a lot of things happening.
Wait, oh, was that connected to Suge Knight? Come on.
No. We could talk about Suge later. I've met Suge. We could talk about Suge later. But no, this is a Diddy thing, right? This is the East Coast thing. But let me tell you something else that's kind of crazy. Even one of Puff Daddy's sons, Al B. Shore's son has been close with Puff Daddy. And Al B. Shore has also fallen ill and is now rebuilding. So there's a lot of, when there's a lot of smoke, I don't know. But we wish everybody. No,
when there's a lot of smoke, it means there's a fire. I do.
Yeah,
know.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I did
say that. You can't just have all these coincidences. Yeah.
Come on. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
You finished it for me. I'm leaving it to the viewer to decide. You guys go do your research and find out. Listen, I hate seeing a successful brother in the industry making money and creating, you know, opportunities for himself and his family and people fall, but it's on your own doing. If you're messing with people and you're trafficking people and your mule has caught a case, all roads, it comes from the top. All roads lead to you. You got to tighten that up and be, I mean, how greedy can you be? Do you really have to traffic drugs? You're already successful. Like, aren't you supposed to be moving away?
Well, maybe that's what drove his success, and I guarantee he has an AK-47. There you go.
All right. He ain't got nothing right now. He's on suicide watch. He's not got nothing.
Yeah, he doesn't even have sheets. He'll hang himself with them.
You mess with women and children it's not good for him.
If you mess with women and children in the penal system, and Francis, you may not know this, women less, but if somebody gets for trial, they are a target in the prison system.
Yeah,
they
will right. Same here in the UK.
Yeah. You don't do that. But no. Listen, guys, we want to wish everyone involved in any of P. Diddy's cases health and safety and wellness and to become whole. And we want to wish P. Diddy a speedy and fair trial. I don't know all the facts. We want to make sure that everything's fair. It sounds bad, P. Diddy. I'm disappointed, but I saw the video. It's going to be really hard to get the court of public opinion back on your side because we saw with our own eyes what you did to Cassie, and it's messed up. What?
I just want the facts, but you saw the video, and listen, you don't build that by not killing bodies, right? So it's like the Teamsters Union. Nope, they're dead bodies.
Oh, God. Okay. Teamsters, don't come for me or Francis. Those are Jay's statement. I don't know enough about the Teamsters, but yes, of course.
Union, what do you mean? How do you not know about that?
I know who they are. I do not know enough about that. Of course, this isn't about that.
It's the same thing.
But that's Jay's opinion. All right. So, guys, we must wrap. Thank you for joining us. Gentlemen, I think this is episode number 6. How does it feel to be at number 6? And we're going to keep going. Jay loves to flip everybody off. All right. Guys, watch us again here on LA Talk Radio. And, of course, stay united. Be kind to one another. And, you know, if you're going to argue at Thanksgiving, hopefully you can use some of our pointers and be kind to one another and end up in a good place. We'll see you next week at the Ununited State of the World. Be well. Bye, guys.
You're listening to the Ununited State of the World with Francis, Jay, and Monique, only on LA Talk Radio.